Later this hour, human activity disrupting life underwater. But first, in the city above ground in the summer, human activity, asphalt, and concrete generate, hold, and store heat long after the sun sets. New York City's temperatures, for instance, are significantly warmer day and night than the surrounding regions. It's easy to create policies based on the temperature outside, like when to open a cooling center or issue air quality alerts. But what about the indoor temperature? How does extreme heat inside our homes impact health when access to an air conditioner isn't an option? Our co-producer, WNYC, has launched the Harlem Heat Project to try and find out. Reporter Sarah Gonzalez says preliminary data show what you would expect, so the Gonzalez team is pushing to know more.
Our preliminary data shows that it's reaching 90 degrees and at times 95 degrees, surpassing 95 degrees inside of the homes of Harlem residents. And we found that when the temperatures drop outdoors, so late at night, early in the morning, when it sort of gets cooler outside, we found that the temperatures are not dropping inside. So it could be 65, 70 degrees outside at night, and it's still in the 90s inside of these people's homes, which means that they basically have no relief. Public health professionals say air conditioning in the summer, for some people, really does need to be treated the way heat is in the winter, which is essentially free. I mean, it's included in their rent.
You spoke with a doctor who really sees heat as a public health issue in precisely this neighborhood and in exactly the places that you've installed these sensors. What does she say?
So Dr. Anar Shah works in the emergency room at Mount Sinai Hospital in Harlem. And she says in a week, she might see 10 patients who are affected by extreme heat in the summer. So maybe that's not the primary reason why they come in. They're not coming in complaining about the heat specifically, but it plays a role in their ailments.
I don't know why people don't take it as seriously. I think that it's not as obvious when you look outside your window that there is something dangerous that is happening in the environment.
What she's describing is really what you're trying to unpack in this project. Everything happens indoors. The heat danger happens indoors. The population is inclined to endure and not talk about what it is they're enduring, and the symptoms accumulate, and then we get the deaths, which are very, very hard to track. How do you track them?
The only sure way that you know whether or not somebody died from heat, so from hyperthermia, is if you take their body temperature right before they die, and their body temperature is around 104 degrees. So obviously, the only time you would have that person's body temperature is if they were already in the hospital and the hospital is you know, getting that information. But when people are inside of their homes and they die inside of their homes, it becomes like a largely subjective process.
How unexpected is something like heat stroke? And did you talk with anyone who actually experienced these symptoms?
I spent some time in the emergency room at Mount Sinai Hospital in Harlem after a string of 90-plus degree days, and the ER was just packed. There were patients in the hallways everywhere. You could barely walk through it. Not all of them came in for heat or because of the heat, but the doctors there said that during heat waves and during the summer months, they ask, do you have air conditioning? Have you been using it consistently? Do you have access to water? Have you been drinking water? Because they know that it does play a role. And so when I was there, I spoke to a 69-year-old woman, and she had just been admitted for heat exhaustion. She lives on the fifth floor in Harlem with no AC.
I couldn't deal with heat. I couldn't. It was too hot for me. And then I feel weak. Then later on, my head starts to hurt. And then I start to throw up, and I feel a little dizzy.
Those are the classic symptoms right there.
Right. And, you know, she's 69, so she's not on the extreme end of age there, but she has a lot of medical conditions. She has a stomach problem. One of the things that I heard from some public health professionals was that maybe for people like Helen, we should be treating air conditioning as like a prescription, like a doctor could prescribe, like Helen definitely needs air conditioning because it's affecting her health.
And this is sort of a judgment that is called into the conversation you had with Eric Kleinenberg.
He's a sociologist,
right,
at New York University, and he's written a lot about heat and Americans' overuse of AC, but also how AC is actually necessary for some people.
Air conditioning is a luxury and not a necessity almost all of the time. But there are times in our hot and humid summers when air conditioning can make the difference between life and death. And I say that as someone who is very critical of Americans' overuse of air conditioning.
So we need to think about, in summers of extreme temperatures, the idea of air conditioning as an entitlement for individuals who are in danger, wherever they are in the socioeconomic part of our community. That's something we really need to develop.
Right. And so what we're hoping to get out of all of our heat sensors is just a sense of what kind of problem this actually is for some people. What health professionals say, the data that they collect, that they give to the health department, that determines all sorts of policies, like when cooling centers open, when cooling centers close. We know that indoor temperatures has helped influence policy that says residents need heat in the winter. And so if we know how hot it actually is getting inside of these homes, at least there will be some record that might be able to influence some policy.
Sarah Gonzalez, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Sarah Gonzalez is a reporter for our co-producer, WNYC. Another record, not from Rio, though. July was the hottest month on record, putting 2016 to be the hottest year ever recorded, according to NASA. How do you cope with the heat? Austin, Texas, this year it's easy. I'm sitting outside where it would normally be 100 degrees, and it's 78 degrees and rainy.
My name is Janice, and I'm from the hot south, so I try not to be outdoors in the middle of the day. I plan my life around moving around outside early in the morning and late in the evening.
Hi, this is Mona from Wellington, Florida. Hard to tell, really, as far as dog days of summer go. We have them 6 months out of the year. I keep cool by swimming. Every day I swim, and there's this thing called AC. It's everywhere down here, simply everywhere. So all you have to do is walk fast from your car to the grocery store, to the mall, to the pool, to your home, to the theater. That's all you have to do.
You go, Mona. 877-8-MY-TAKE is our number, or comment at thetakeaway.org.